Welcome to the Collaborative Psychiatry Podcast, where we help busy primary care providers build confidence in managing mental health. I'm Dr. Daniel Suter, a psychiatrist trained in general and addiction psychiatry and currently working in collaborative and integrated care. I created this platform to make psychiatric education simple, practical, and genuinely useful for real-world medicine. Thanks to the support of our subscribers, this podcast remains completely free of commercial influence. Everything you hear reflects my own clinical experience and interpretation of the literature. No sponsorships or outside agendas. If you want to learn more about our mission, visit us at collaborative-psychiatry.org. We've got in-depth courses, clinical tools, and lots of other subscriber resources. This episode is part of our audio quick take series, which are 15 to 20 minute episodes designed to give you high yield, evidence-based tools that you can start using right away in clinic. If you find this quick take helpful, please don't forget to subscribe or leave a review, and check out our website for downloadable clinical tools and resources associated with this episode that will help you put the information you learn here into practice with your patients. Let's get into it. Okay, so in today's episode, we're going to talk through the four big categories of SSRI-related side effects that you're going to see out there in clinical practice. Those are headaches and GI effects, energy level changes, weight gain, and sexual side effects. We're going to review some easy tools and frameworks that you can use to manage each of these. If you're looking for an even deeper dive on managing depression in primary care, as well as antidepressants, check out our full-length CME audio course on that topic, available now and linked to in the show notes and through our website. Our learning objectives for this quick take are as follows. I want you to be able to recognize the most common early onset side effects of SSRIs and apply evidence-based strategies to counsel patients and manage these symptoms. You'll be able to differentiate between more activating and more sedating SSRIs and implement practical timing adjustments to mitigate these side effects. And finally, you should come out of this being able to identify pharmacologic interventions for SSRI-induced sexual dysfunction and weight gain, including when to switch medications or consider adjunctive treatment to manage the side effects. Now, the reason we're talking about this today is that SSRIs are among the most commonly prescribed classes of medications in primary care. And there's good reason for that. Across the globe, and certainly here locally in the US, we are struggling with skyrocketing rates of depression and anxiety. There are a multitude of reasons for this, which we'll talk about elsewhere, but the result is that many patients come into their primary care visits with complaints related to their mood. And SSRIs are a time-tested medication option for managing many of these symptoms. They're well known to both providers and patients. They're relatively easy to prescribe, and they can be very effective. But, like with all medications, there can be side effects. Luckily, I think there are some very simple yet under-recognized frameworks and tools that you can use to address them when they arise. And my goal is to get this kind of information out there. So let's dive right in. Right at the gate, we've got the two main initial side effects that you're going to want to give people a heads up about: headaches and GI side effects. These arise in under half of the cases, so not even the majority, but overall are still quite common, with GI side effects being a little bit more common than headaches. Where do serotonin receptors exist? In the brain and the GI system. That's our enteric nervous system, right? Our second brain, quote unquote. So if we're all of a sudden modulating these receptors, it makes sense that we may have side effects come up in those areas. For both of these, the main answer is really just to give it time. These symptoms tend to emerge in the first few days after starting and will resolve spontaneously as the receptors adapt in the first 1 to 2 weeks. If the symptoms are really distressing, which is rare, you can try starting at a lower dose. For GI symptoms, typically nausea or diarrhea, sometimes taking the meds with food will help. And in more severe cases, you can provide some symptomatic management such as anti-nausea meds, Tylenol or NSAIDs. The other thing I'll say is that when these side effects do come up, I like to frame them for patients by saying, see, the medication is clearly doing something. It's hitting those receptors or kicking in. The symptoms will subside, and now we've just got to give it time to do its real job. Another issue that comes up a lot with SSRIs is questions around energy level, and whether these meds end up being more sedating or more activating. Now, there are some general tendencies to keep in mind for the various SSRIs when it comes to this, but frankly, individual responses can vary widely, so the more important thing to keep in mind is the following framework. If you start an SSRI as a morning medication, and the patient reports it's causing sedation, have them switch to taking it at night. And if you start it as an evening medication, and they report that it's contributing to insomnia, have them switch to taking it during the day. This is super easy and usually takes care of the problem and spares you the trouble of trying to switch medications or address the issue in some other way. To get a bit more nuanced, there are general trends that we can keep in mind to head off this sort of issue with our initial approach to the timing of dosing. Fluoxetine or Prozac tends to be the most energizing or activating of the SSRIs, so definitely start it as a daytime medication. Sertraline or Zoloft tends to be more activating than sedating, so you'll usually start it during the daytime. Escitalopram, which is Lexapro, and citalopram, which is Celexa, are a little more mixed. I tend to start them as daytime meds, but if I hear back that the patient feels lower energy, I'll switch them over to nighttime dosing. Paroxetine, which is Paxil, and which I recommend generally avoiding due to side effects and the potential for med interactions, and fluvoxamine, which is Luvox, both tend to be more sedating, so you'd want to start them as nighttime meds. If you happen to be using either of the two newer serotonergic SSRI-like medications, vortioxetine, which is Trintellix, or vilazodone, which is Bibrid, and which we'll talk about a bit more in another episode, these tend to be closer to sertraline, so more neutral to slightly activating and best dosed during the daytime. Broadly speaking, with most of these meds outside of paroxetine and fluvoxamine, I'd start them as daytime medications, and if the patient reports back that they find them sedating, switch them over to evening dosing. Okay, the two other big side effects of note are weight gain and sexual side effects. Weight gain is always a concern for patients, and the majority of psychiatric medications do carry some risk of weight gain. For SSRIs, it certainly doesn't occur in everyone, or even the majority of cases, but if it does occur, the average amount of weight gained is 5 to 10 pounds over the course of 6 to 12 months, after which point things tend to stabilize, and you don't see ongoing weight gain with more chronic use. If your patient is super concerned about the potential for weight gain, there is a little bit more nuance that we can apply in terms of med selection. I said this once, I'll say it again, paroxetine kind of sucks. It has far and away the highest risk of weight gain, and for that reason, along with others, I think it should be avoided. Fluoxetine, on the flip side, has the lowest risk. People can still gain some weight on it, but it's much less common. If you'll recall, fluoxetine tends to be more activating, right? And what we tend to see in psychiatry is that the more sedating the medication is, the higher the risk of weight gain. And the opposite is true with more activating or energizing medications. The newer agents, vortioxetine and vilazodone, seem to be weight neutral, which is great. And all the rest, sertraline, escitalopram, citalopram, and fluvoxamine, tend to be in the mild to moderate risk range and very patient-dependent. So if significant or concerning weight gain does come up with an SSRI, I'd consider switching it then to either fluoxetine or Prozac, vortioxetine, or vilazodone. And then finally, when it comes to side effect management, I think sexual side effects from SSRIs can be super frustrating to patients and are definitely something to ask about in your follow-ups with patients, because we do have some tools to address these symptoms if they arise. These symptoms can present a little bit differently in men and women, and not too surprisingly, given the overall trends in healthcare, are more often missed in women than men. Across the board, they can cause decreased libido or sexual desire. They can impact arousal by causing erectile dysfunction in men or reduced lubrication in women. And finally, in both men and women, they can cause delayed orgasm or even anorgasmia. These issues are super common causes of SSRI cessation, and often patients won't bring it up themselves. So I think it's super high yield to ask about and help them address it if it is a problem. In terms of what we can do to help, there are four general options here. The first is just to switch medications. Sexual side effects are quite medication and patient dependent, so just because your patient develops it with one SSRI doesn't mean they'll develop it with another. If the symptoms are really bothersome and you don't want to risk it happening again with another agent, you could switch to bupropion or mirtazapine, which don't tend to be associated with sexual side effects, or to one of the newer agents, as we've talked about a few times, vilazodone or vortioxetine, which seem to have a much smaller risk. The next two options involve adding on another psychiatric medication to treat the sexual side effects. The two options here are bupropion and buspirone. Bupropion XL in doses of 150 to 300 milligrams and buspirone in doses of 15 to 45 milligrams daily have both been shown to be effective in reducing or treating sexual side effects when added on alongside the SSRI. Now, these two meds will have their own standalone psychiatric effects as well, which can be helpful to augment the SSRI's effects on the mood symptoms you're trying to treat. Of the two, bupropion tends to have more of an antidepressant profile, and buspirone tends to be more anti-anxiety. So I would use the primary mood symptoms you're targeting to help select between the two. And then finally, the last option here is more geared towards men if the primary side effect is erectile dysfunction, and that's to just add on a PDE5 inhibitor like sildenafil or tadalafil to the SSRI, the same way you would if you're treating ED from some other circumstance. These options won't help with libido or orgasm-related effects, but they do seem to be effective for SSRI-related ED. Okay, so that wraps up our brief overview here on managing SSRI side effects. I think all of these interventions are accessible and easy to put into place, so hopefully you're able to take them right out into practice. Just to recap, GI and headache symptoms are common early, but usually self-limited. Energy effects vary. The first step here is to adjust the timing of the dose. Weight gain happens in a minority, with paroxetine as the main culprit. And for sexual side effects, they're common, but we've got real tools. The med switches, add-ons like bupropion or buspirone, or even PDE5 inhibitors for erectile dysfunction. If you want to go beyond what we've covered today, our in-depth audio course on managing depression in primary care walks through diagnosis, dosing, med switching, augmentation approaches, and many more topics step by step. In our next episode, we'll be shifting gears to a topic that's been exploding in primary care, adult ADHD. We'll unpack how to think about this diagnosis in a way that cuts through the noise and helps you feel more confident in clinic. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to check out the downloadable companion resources for this episode available on our website at collaborative-psychiatry.org/quicktakes. They're up for free for this episode and the next one and include detailed show notes, an SSRI side effect comparison table, an overview about how to talk about these issues with patients, as well as patient handouts around sexual side effects and what to expect when starting an SSRI. And if this episode made your work a little bit easier, please consider sharing it with a colleague or leaving a quick review on whatever podcast app you use most frequently. It really helps us reach more providers and spread this information more widely. And now our disclaimer, the content in this podcast is intended for general educational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine or the establishment of a professional relationship. The use of the information in this podcast in clinical practice is at your own discretion and risk. Thanks again for joining us today, and see you next time.